Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a subweight roller Titan from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and this is an advanced one. We're not just making a bass sound big, we're making it hit harder in context with a break, stay solid in mono, and carry enough forward pressure to survive a real drop. That's the whole game here. A killer D&B bassline is usually not about the raw sound in solo. It's about the editing. It's about how the sub is written, how the mid-range is controlled, and how tightly the phrase locks to the drums. If you get that right, the bass feels heavy without getting sloppy, dark, rolling, nasty, but still disciplined. So let's start with the most important part, the MIDI. Open a clean MIDI lane and build an 8-bar loop around a D&B tempo, somewhere around 172 to 174 BPM. Don't overfill the bar. Think like a drummer and a bass player at the same time. Leave space for the break to breathe. A good starting phrase might land on beat 1, or the end of 1, then answer the snare spaces with one or two supporting notes, and maybe add a short pickup into beat 3. You want the line to lean forward, not sit square in the pocket. What to listen for here is simple. Even before you touch sound design, does the phrase already feel like it has pressure? If it feels flat, fix the note lengths and timing first. If it feels crowded, remove a note before you add any processing. In D&B, the groove often gets better when you do less. Now build the sub, use operator, and keep it clean. One sign oscillator, no unnecessary movement. Fast attack, short to medium decay, short release so the tail doesn't smear. Keep it mono, this part is your pressure source. This is the thing that tells the room where the bass actually lives. Why this works in D&B is because the sub has to survive loud drums, loud playback systems, and a lot of transient information around it. A pure sign is stable, predictable, and easy to mix. That gives you headroom, and it gives you control. Next, add the character layer. You can duplicate the MIDI to a second track, or use an instrument rack if you want fast control. For the tone, go with Waveedable or Operator using a richer waveform, something with more harmonic information. Saw, square, or a Waveedable position with a little bite. The goal is not a huge wall of sound. The goal is control density in the mids. A simple stock chain works well here. Waveedable into saturator, then EQ8, and maybe compressor or glue compressor if you need a little glue. Start with modest saturation, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. If it needs more furnace, use soft clip. Then use EQ8 to clean up the low mids if the sound starts clouding the kick and snare pocket. Often somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz gets muddy fast. If you need more speak and attitude, a gentle lift in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz region can help the bass cut through without turning it into a bright lead. At this point, make a decision. You've got two useful directions. One is clean pressure. Keep the mid layer smoother and more controlled. That's perfect for rollers, minimal neuro pressure, and tracks where the break already has a lot going on. The other is aggressive bite. Push the saturation harder, let the upper harmonic speak more, and make the bass feel nastier. That works when the drop needs more hostility, but be careful not to fight the snare texture. What to listen for is the relationship between the bass and the drums. If the break is already busy, the cleaner option often wins. If the drums are stripped and the bass needs to carry the menace, the more aggressive option can work beautifully. Now comes the part that really makes this a break lab edit. Go back to the MIDI and shape the bass like you're editing a drum loop. This is where the phrase gets tight. Shorten some notes so the tail clears before the snare. Let one note ring a little longer to create an anchor, then cut the next one shorter for contrast. Don't make every note the same length. That's one of the fastest ways to kill the groove. A good rule is this. If the bass is stepping on the snare tail, shorten the note before the snare or reduce the release. If the line feels too robotic, let one note bloom slightly more than the others, just enough to create movement, not enough to turn it messy. This is also where tiny timing edits can make a big difference. If the bass feels late, move it slightly earlier or tighten the attack. If it feels rushed, pull a note back a touch or extend the decay a little. Those tiny shifts matter a lot in D&B because the groove is fast and the transient density is high. Once the mid layer has a useful tone and the phrase feels right, print it, freeze and flatten it, or resample it to audio. This is an advanced move, and it matters because audio lets you edit the bass like percussion. You can trim tails, cut starts, shape gaps, and treat the phrase like a drum phrase instead of a synth line. That gives you control that's hard to get from MIDI alone. If the resampled version is already working, stop there. Don't keep twisting knobs just because you can. Commit, edit the audio, and move on. That's how you stay in arrangement mode instead of endless sound design mode. Now process the printed audio or grouped layers with separation in mind. Keep the sub owned by the low end, and let the character layer handle the attitude. High-pass the character layer somewhere, around 70 to 100 HC so it doesn't fight the sub. Use utility to keep the center stable and check width discipline. If you want more density, a little extra saturator or dynamic tube can help, but don't turn the whole thing into constant distortion. The trap here is easy to fall into. If the sub and the mid layer both try to own the same low end, the bass gets thick, but unreadable. The kick loses definition, and the whole low end starts to blur. Keep the roll separate. Now test it against the break. Bring the drums in early and listen like a mix engineer, not just a sound designer. Does the bass leave room for the snare crack? Does it support the ghost notes instead of covering them? Does it sit under the kick fundamental, or does it smear into it? If the bass feels late, nudge it earlier a little. If it feels rushed, pull it back slightly. If the snare loses impact, shorten the tail. This is where the track starts becoming a real DNB arrangement rather than just a loop. A really useful check is to mute the sub first. If the mid layer suddenly feels like the entire bass is too dependent on harmonics and probably won't hold up on a big system, then mute the mid layer. If the sub collapses the groove or feels too long, the note lengths and envelope are probably too loose. And always check the loop at low volume too. If the bass disappears completely, the rhythm or mid-range support needs work. Now add movement, but keep the low end stable. Use automation on the mid layer, not the sub. Filter cutoff, saturator drive, wave-eatable position, or a short delay or reverb send on a selected note can all work. One strong move is a subtle filter opening over 4 or 8 bars into the drop, then tightening it back down after the first phrase. That gives the section some evolution, without destabilizing the weight. For arrangement, think in terms of identity and escalation. Let the first 8 bars establish the roller. Then change one thing in the second 8 bars. Maybe you shorten one note before the snare. Maybe you add a clip turnaround at the end of bar 8. Maybe you swap in a nastier resample for the second phrase. Just one clear change is often stronger than rewriting the whole bassline. A good DNB roller usually feels heavier because of better balance, not more level. So pull the bass down until the kick and snare regain their front edge, then bring it back just enough that the room still feels pressed downward. Check mono. If the bass feels huge in stereo but weak in mono, too much of the weight is living in the width, and that's a problem. The real foundation has to stay centered. A few extra pro moves can help here too. A little asymmetry in the phrase can make the loop feel more alive. Maybe bar 1 is more open and bar 2 is slightly more active. Maybe one note arrives a fraction early on a key hit to create pressure. Maybe you print a cleaner first drop version and a nastier second drop version. That kind of versioning is incredibly useful in arrangement, because it gives you contrast without rebuilding the whole sound later. And one more thing, sometimes the best distortion is the one that creates rank, not wreckage. You want clearer note speech, a little more density, maybe a slight harmonic lift. If the bass stops feeling deep after saturation, back off the drive and fix the phrase first. Don't confuse confidence with louder distortion. So here's the recap. Start with the phrase. Build a clean, mono sub and operator. Add a controlled character layer with wave-eatable or operator. Shape the note lengths like a drum edit. Resample the useful tone to audio so you can tighten it like a loop. Keep the sub and mid layer in separate jobs. Then test everything against the break, because that's where the truth is. A strong sub-weight roller is not just a sound. It's a groove element with low frequency authority. It locks to the drums, survives the mix, and carries the section with focused pressure. For your practice, build one clean 8-bar phrase, resample the character layer, and make exactly one version for the first drop and one variation for the second. Keep it simple, keep it tight, and listen hard. If the bass still feels strong when the break comes back in, you've got it. If not, go back to the phrase before you touch the synth again. Now get into Ableton, build the loop, and make it hit.